Hello, everyone. Welcome to Binge and Banter. I'm Angela.
And I am Emily, and we are going to talk about this chaotic, wild, aggravating episode 4 of Survivor 47.
That's right. I had a lot of feeling watching this episode.
I have one feeling that is overriding all the other ones.
True. Are all seasons of Survivor this chaotic and this dramatic in the early stages?
I don't think so. I don't think they're this chaotic this early, or at least they don't make me this mad this early.
There's like so many layers, it seems like. Like there's four-dimensional chess happening, because I feel like in some of the seasons, the few seasons that I've watched that were like newer, it was kind of like, you knew every week it was either going to be the threat or the weakling. It was kind of just the decision between the threat and the weakling. And now it's all about alliances. It's about blindsiding people. It's about people getting on your nerves. Like, there's so many different layers that are going into it. And then it keeps changing, like, right up until the point that they actually vote. Like, tonight, I think the very last thing that happened right before vote changed everything.
And it aggravates me to no end, because I could never succeed in a game like this. I feel like I can't, there's no way I'd be able to keep up. No wonder everyone's paranoid all the time. Like, it changed so quickly and for no reason, in my opinion, but we'll get
little
there.
Tiny reasons that people would cling on to and be like, oh, they did that. Well, I'm changing my vote now. Like, not big things. But then there were also big things that people were ignoring, like threats or ultimatums, whatever you want to call them.
Yes.
Things that should have not been so overlooked, just because, I don't know, it's definitely the season of worry about my alliance, and then also the season of who's getting on my nerves. Not that that succeeded tonight, but like in TK.
Uh-huh.
And I think it says a lot, because you're on an island and you're trying to survive with no food. The person who's getting on my nerves would be the first to go for me.
Yeah.
You could not convince me to vote for anybody else.
Me too. And I don't know. I'm angry. I'm extremely unsatisfied by this episode. But overall, I feel like it's a good season so far. The fact that it's making us angry, that's good TV. Like, that's good Survivor. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was thinking halfway through the episode, like, if this goes the way that I want it to, will I be as entertained next week without this character there?
No, you need somebody to root for, and you need people to root against.
We need a common enemy. We need the villain.
But we started out at Law, though, because they went to tribal council last week.
They did. And so we start off, and Saul's mad that Roma's still there. So we were wrong last week when we thought that Saul knew where the votes were going to go, and that he knew that Rome had an idol and he was going to play it. He had no idea. He said he was blindsided completely.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
And he went completely with his true emotion.
Yeah. And I think he thought he was going to get votes, and he didn't.
Yeah.
And then we see that Teenie comes clean about voting for Saul. And we see the reasoning why she voted for him. And you're right. She just couldn't bring herself to vote Aisha. And somehow she kind of gets out of this. Like, it seems like her and Saul are more bonded after this conversation that they have about it. And he's like, no, I totally understand. Like, you couldn't bring yourself to put her name down, so you had to put someone's name down. Like, I don't know if he's just playing it really cool, or he actually is like feeling for her.
I think it's because that Saul is so much more moved by people being real.
Yeah.
Like, he has a really, really good bullshit detector. I think that's why he hates Rome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Teenie was honest. She was like, me and Aisha were bonded. I mean, she admits, like, it's almost like Saul can like respect the emotional choice more than the strategic choice in certain instances.
Yeah. And I was like, well, she wrote your name down. And I guess, like, to me, he's an astute Survivor player, because he didn't get emotional over that. And he didn't say, okay, well, now I'm going to vote Teenie out because she wrote my name down. He could see straight through to what the truth was, and that she just had to write someone's name down.
And that she wasn't like a threat to him just because she wrote his name down, because right. he knows who the real threat to him is, and that's Rome. Because yeah. Rome is over there being cocky again. He's like, I still have my steal a vote. I'm still going to vote out Saul next.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Already being cocky. Super, super. Yeah.
And that leads to Rome going to all the others and explaining that if he plays his steal a vote, that Saul doesn't get to play his shot in the dark. And at first, like, until it's explained later in the episode, I did not know this was a thing.
Yeah, so he wanted him to get rid of his shot in the dark, or otherwise he was going to steal his vote.
Yeah, yeah. But I didn't even know that if he stole his vote that he couldn't use his shot in the dark.
Yeah, apparently you have to have a vote to use your shot in the dark.
Yeah, I had no idea. And now, I mean, that makes sense. But I, like, wrote a bunch of question marks at this point because I'm like, what? What do you mean? I was like, I
didn't know that either, but obviously I'm new to this, so yeah. I didn't even know what a shot in the dark was until last week.
I mean, I feel like that takes, like, a really studied player to remember that and to know that, because if I'm out there, like, I would not know that you had to have a vote to play your shot in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it was, like, told to me on my flight over.
They probably somehow all knew.
They all seemed like they knew. So
yeah,
maybe they go over the rules before they start.
Yeah, maybe it's explained to them at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. But then we go to the Gotta tribe, and we see Sam rapping, and I wrote, better than Rome, LOL.
Cringe. Not you, him.
Oh, yeah. No, it was cringe, but was it as cringe as Rome's rapping?
I just think anybody trying to freestyle rap, and then you're trying to talk like a rapper, and you're clearly just like a dorky, semi-athletic white guy. It made my skin crawl, but you know what? They have to do something to entertain themselves. I'm not trying to be a hater, but they definitely... It gave me the ick.
Yeah. It does give me the ick, too. But Sam's still cute. He's still a little cutie pie.
Sure.
So Sam explains that him and Sierra are in the middle, and they can either go with Andy or they can go with Annika and Rachel, and he thinks they're in a really good spot. So then we see Andy talking to Sierra, and he asks if she's worried about everyone thinking that Sierra and Sam are dating. And she's like, oh, no, like, not at all, but I don't understand why people would think that. Like, I don't want us to seem like a strong two. And then we see that she is worried about it. Like, she, in her interviews, is talking about how she needs to distance herself from Sam because people think that they're a strong two. And she starts to talk about how she wants to make it clear that she's with Annika and Rachel. And at this point, I was like, what? I was like, I thought she was locked in with Sam.
I did too. And I know that she was being buddy-buddy with the girls the whole time. But that almost seemed to me like that was like her fake alliance, whereas her alliance with Sam and then by association Andy was more so her real alliance.
I thought so too. I thought she was just being an alliance with the girls just to get information and to just make sure that she's safe. She's safe from both sides. But it almost seems like she's actually going with this, and they make their alliance name the Breadwinners. And
yeah,
that'll come up later on some issues.
Why was it the Breadwinners?
I don't know. I was like, maybe because they're going to... Well, Annika kept saying, we're going to win this bread. I mean, I guess that's in, like, one of them's going to win the $1 million.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
So they're the Breadwinners?
But then we went to Tuku next.
Yes. And we see that Sue is emotional and she's crying. And Gabe's like, it's okay to cry. I cried this morning. And she's like, wait, you did? So I think a lot of times, like, we don't see people in when they're being emotional or when they need to let out a tear. Like, I think a lot of people go off on their own and just kind of let it out because, you know, you're essentially alone out there. Like, you don't really know anyone. You know you can't trust anyone. You're away from your family. You're away from your friends. And that has to be, like, really hard.
That's what I'm saying, too, is, like, these people are so talkative and happy. I mean, they're not happy, but they're, like, cheerful for people who aren't eating. That always blows my mind.
Yeah. I'm like, I would be crying the whole time and just laying there and moping.
I would be like, is sand edible? Because they used to have rice.
Yeah, they used to be given rice, but now they're eating coconut.
I guess they eat coconuts and they eat little tiny fish. Oh, I would be spending, maybe they don't show it, but they probably don't show it because it's boring. I would be spending so much more time than them trying to find food. Do you remember that one season where Queen Sandra found the baby goat and wanted to eat it so bad? And everyone was like, you can't eat the baby.
Gosh. Yeah, they're like, we can't eat the goat. Like, we can't do that.
I think it's hilarious, and we'll talk about it later too, how people's feelings about eating the animals. I mean, if it was a baby, I wouldn't eat an animal, but if you put one of them chickens in front of me and I have three of them, two of them can lay eggs and I can eat the thigh of another one because that sounds delicious.
Right, right. Okay, so we see Gabe comfort Sue. We see Kyle kind of adding in, and he's like, just remember that boy at home is going to be like, that's my grandma. And then Sue, anything that Kyle says, she does not like it. And she goes into, like, I don't want to be known as the grandma. I'm not going to be known as that. And she's like, and they don't really even know how old I am. She told them that she's 45.
Now, look, Sue's a beautiful woman. So there's really no kind way for me to say this because I don't mean it negatively. She looks her age. She looks 58. She's a hot 58. Don't get me wrong. She's obviously taking care of herself. She's athletic. She can do more than most people, even 20 years younger than her, can do. But girl, you have been to the tanning bed too much to say that you're 45. I'm sorry.
Yes. I was like, I'm sorry, but I would instantly be like, nope, can't trust you because you're definitely not 45.
Maybe because he's a guy, he's like, and like, I would have also been thinking, how old is your grandchild and how old is your daughter? Because did y'all all just have, I mean, it would kind of make sense if she had like a baby grandchild and they all just had kids in their early 20s. Like, that would make sense. But I would have some questions and I would be in my interviews being like, Sue told me she was 45. The math isn't mathing. She looks great and she looks great for her age and she looks great regardless of her age. But to me, 45-year-olds, I can barely even tell usually that they're older than me. Like, they're, but with her, I'm like, yeah, we can tell that you're approaching 60, and that's not a bad thing.
No, but why lie by 13 years?
I didn't understand that.
Give or take a few years, you don't want to be, like, near 60, so let's tell them that we're 50.
50 would have been totally believable.
Yes, but 45, like, you just tell them you're 21 at this point. Like, it's so unbelievable. And I can't believe that wasn't, like, a bigger storyline. Maybe it will be later in episodes, but I was
maybe shocked. She's going to form an alliance with somebody later, like, after the merger, before the merge, and be like, I'm actually 58. And that'll be, like, her secret that she tells them to get them to trust her.
Yeah.
But she went looking for a very interesting idol.
Yes, she did. And this is insane to me. Okay, so she finds the beware advantage. She gets the clue. The clue tells her to cut a rope and it'll drop down a coconut. And boom, splatters red paint everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I am like, we've never seen this before.
Yeah, I was wondering. I was like, I don't know. I don't remember seeing that. And then it immediately made me think of the promos when they were like looking for her and they thought she was bleeding or whatever. So she has to like
never
contend
really got
with
that
this
shot. We never really got that. Like, what was in the promo? We never saw it in the show.
Yeah.
Like, nobody went looking for her and found the red paint on the ground like they did in the promo.
Well, in the promo, it was like maybe Tiana telling Caroline, where's Sue? There's blood on the ground. It was like before they found her, whereas in the episode, they just walked up on her.
Yeah. I don't know. I was like, oh, it made it seem like she got away with it more than what she did or what it showed in the promo. I don't know. I was just like, why not show what's in the promo in the episode?
How did they not know? I would have questioned her so much harder, but then I think, too, you don't want to, like, you know, you also yourself don't want to be questioned too hard. So you're like, maybe I'll just let this one slide. But she definitely found the immunity idol, so she's going to be set for a minute.
Yeah. No, but that's what's crazy about it is that she did find the idol. And it wasn't as hard as what the first Beware Advantage was, like where they had to go find a box and there's a box within a box to extend the idol. Like, she didn't have to go through all of that. But would you rather go through all of that or have red paint splattered where it's very obvious?
I would rather have the one where nobody knows about it and not have red paint. Well, the hard thing about the other one, though, is that if you're gone for that long and you're looking for the one that's good for 5 tribal councils or whatever, you're going to, or 3, or you're trying to get to the best one, you're going to be gone for a long time. So they're probably going to know anyway. But the paint one, it's just like, that's rough. Like, that's hard to hide. And you don't have, like, a mirror. You can't see if it's even on you.
Oh, crap. I didn't even think about that. I think I would rather have the paint splatter one. Because the other one, every single person had to get someone to help them. And, like, still, Sue's the only one that knows that she has the idol. Like, other people can be suspicious of it, but she's the only one that knows that she has it.
Right. And
can we talk about how she tried to pour water on it to wash it away? And it just, like, expanded.
Yeah, that wasn't going to work. She would have had to have so much more water.
Here's my thing. Number one, mistakes that I think she made. Immediately just start kicking sand over everything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to pour water on it. 2, don't touch anything at first. Like, if you see the idol, okay, grab that, but then don't touch anything. Like, you, like, I don't know, use your feet, use something else that's a little bit more hidden that you can, like, you can dig your feet into the sand real easily and it not be as noticeable as, like, you having red paint on your hands. 2,
right.
I mean, 3, don't touch the water well handle. Like, the thing, the little scooper to get the water out with was covered in red paint because she had been touching it.
I would have ran directly into the ocean. I would not have even tried to cover up the paint. And I would have rinsed everything off and then gotten as far away from that paint with my immunity idol as I possibly could have. And that would have been that. And if they asked me about it, I would have said, I don't know. And they probably would have assumed that it was me, but they wouldn't have known what was going on.
Yeah. See, that's one thing I was thinking about. I was like, okay, she could just run, get in the ocean, clean herself off, get her idol, clean it off. And if she leaves no trace of paint on herself, then you can just be like, oh my gosh, somebody on this tribe is sneaky. And I bet somebody found something. I bet they found something.
Yeah.
And you can pin it on somebody else. But my other thought is immediately just start covering it up as much as you can. Just start kicking sand. I don't know, kicking things places, and then immediately run into the ocean. I just could not believe it. She went to the water well. I was like, number one, someone's going to walk up on you. Number two, that's harder to wash off. Like, the paint's got to go somewhere. So it's going to be on the ground. It's going to be smeared over your face, over your body. Like, I was like, just go to the ocean.
And Caroline and Tiana did walk up on her. She had a machete next to her. And she was like, something, something, something with the machete. I don't know. And of course, they're like, what the hell? Because they don't actually see an open cut on her. She just has what looks like blood smeared across her chin, which she doesn't realize. And they're like, you look like you have something on your chin. What's wrong? Like, what happened? She's like, oh, something, something with the machete. And then she's like, trying not to lift her hands up because I don't think she got all the paint off her hands.
No, they were covered.
They were side-eyeing her so hard. They definitely knew something was wrong or something was up.
Yeah, they definitely did. And I don't know, in this instant, when you're already caught literally red-handed, I don't know. I think she played it well. But then since Caroline is her closest alliance member, I wouldn't want to lose her trust. So I wouldn't want to make her like wary of myself. So I would bring her in and say, hey, yeah, I did find something. It involved red paint. And then the two of you can convince Tiana that it was a cut. Like, she didn't see nothing.
Yeah, I would have just told them because they all voted the same last time. So,
but I don't know if they want to work with Tiana yet.
I know, but I think that for me, I would always revert when there's like a chance for like me to look sketchy. I'm probably going to resort to honesty before I look sketchy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I get that. So we go to the Lavo camp and everybody's idol hunting. We have Rome say, I'm definitely the best idol hunter on my tribe.
Rome is up Saul's ass, too.
Yes. Yes. And he's like talking down to Saul because Saul's also looking for an idol. I mean, if everybody's looking for an idol, then everybody's looking for an idol. Saul has fair game to that. Like, there's nothing in the rules saying, oh, you're on the bottom, you can't look for an idol. But that's what Rome's trying to tell Saul, is that he can't look for an idol because he's on the bottom, and that's going to make people not like him even more. He shouldn't put a even bigger target on his back. And then Rome says the people at the top get the luxury to look for an idol.
That's ridiculous, first of all. If you're on the bottom, you should absolutely be looking for an idol. But number two, okay, Rome, how do you not think of how this is going to be perceived by Saul? Because Saul knows that you don't like him. He knows that you're not sitting here trying to help him. Like, hey, man, don't get a target on your back. Like, maybe if y'all were friends and y'all liked each other, then Saul would look at that and be like, oh, he's just trying to help me out. But obviously, you don't like Saul, so Saul's not going to think that you're trying to help him. And B, you're literally tipping Saul off, like, hey, like, that Saul already knew he was on the bottom, but Rome, like, trying to get him to not look for an idol.
Yeah.
Just told him exactly that what he suspected, which was that he was getting voted out next.
Yes. And I just don't understand, like, we'll see Rome backtrack later. And I'm like, ha, in your face. Like, this did not work the way that you wanted it to completely. We'll get to it. But it's because of the way that he has talked to Saul. And Saul's never going to work with him. Like, you have completely lost him. Completely lost him. And he's never going to work with you because of the way that you're talking to him. And everybody else is noticing it. So Teeny's like, Rome, chill. Chill. He doesn't need to be followed every step of the way. He doesn't need a babysitter. Like, he's not going to look for an idol. And then we have Genevieve and Saul talking, and they're clicking. She's like, I don't like the way that he's playing the game. And then you see her say, like, if I don't get rid of Rome soon, he might sink my own game.
That's why I don't understand. Genevieve flipped her mind, like, 18 times in this episode. And I think she had it right the first time. If you're with somebody who's rubbing everybody the wrong way, who they can't wait to take out, who do you think they're going to take out as soon as he's gone? Most likely you. So why are you so dead set on working with Rome just because he's such a strong alliance for you? I firmly believe she could have made a stronger, an even stronger alliance with anybody there. And then I also noted that Keyshawn was talking about how he loves that Saul and Rome are clashing because it kind of plays into the game that he wants to play, which obviously backfired in the end. So I just thought that was interesting now looking back at it.
Yeah. Yeah. And at first I thought Keyshawn was playing a great, great move, like, every step of the way. But we see how that turns out. Mm-hmm. And, like, the most mind-boggling thing for me with Genevieve is if Rome is rubbing people the wrong way, all I would think about is post-merge. And
yeah,
you can't go into the merge three different tribes. Two of these tribes have to mesh together, or a group of people have to mesh together to get the majority vote. And if you are aligned with Rome, nobody else at the merge is going to be like, oh, this is a great guy. I get really good vibes from him. I want to work with him.
Right.
Like, you are going to sink your own game if you don't get him out. Ooh. And then, okay, so we go to Gata, and I'm sorry, but this was an Angela move. When everybody else finds Andy shot in the dark underneath the shelter.
Just because his bag was chilling open and it, like, fell out.
It maybe. Those bags are pretty deep. Like, you have to be pretty scattered to, like, lose your shot in the dark.
Yeah. What was up with that? Was there something going on there? Like, was he trying to lose it, or was he trying to see who he could trust or something like that?
No, I don't think Andy's that smart. I think he literally just lost it, because that's risky. Like, that is risky. Mm-hmm. You could lose it, and then you don't have it. You're done.
He might have been trying to get something else out of his bag, and he, like, put it on the ground and forgot about it or something like that. I definitely would do that, though. I would be like, I have my immunity idol one day, and then the next day I'd be like, I was walking around, and I don't have it anymore.
That's so funny. That happens a lot, where people will go bury their idols somewhere in the woods, and they're like, crap, where'd I bury it?
Oh, yeah, I would never bury it. I would literally just, like, put it in my bra.
24/7.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so it's just so funny to me. So Sam goes and tells Andy, he's like, you got to go get your shot in the dark, but, like, don't make it noticeable that you're getting your shot in the dark. So Sierra's like, Andy is sloppy. Like, he's scatterbrained. And then she's like, I don't know if I want to work with him because of this. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. But he does end up getting it back. And he's like, oh, is this anybody's? And they're like, maybe you should check your bag. Like, they all already know. And he knows that they all already know. Like, they're all of them are acting right now.
Yeah.
Like, every single one of them. But he goes to Sierra, and they're talking. And Sierra tells Andy about the Breadwinners Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy's like, ooh, I feel good with Sierra now, because she gave me the name of the alliance. And she wouldn't do that if she wasn't going to work with me, because I could easily throw that out and sink her game. You know, if she goes against them, he could easily be like, oh, well, what about the Breadwinners Alliance? And those girls will be like, you told him,
mm-hmm.
you know? Can we trust her?
Right. And she ends up going to tell Sam, or no, Andy goes to tell Sam that he knows about their Breadwinners Alliance. And Sam is upset because he's realizing that him and Sierra are not the strong two that he thought that they were, mm-hmm. and that we all thought that they were, because lo and behold, she has this alliance, this all-female alliance with the two other girls, and they have a name for it. And she's telling Andy about it, and she never told Sam about it. So he's thinking, we've got at least small secrets. So that means that our alliance is not as strong as I would think it would be. And they just clash on whether they want to be in an alliance with Andy. And I really think that's the reason why Sierra is so much stronger with the girls now than she was with Sam, because Sam is dead set on making Andy his goat, basically, like, bringing him to the end, because he knows that he's easily manipulated and he'll do whatever Sam says. Whereas Sierra, and I think they're both right, like, I really think Andy would do whatever Sam says, but I don't think that Andy would necessarily also not sink their game just by being stupid.
I think that Sam knows that if he is with the three girls, that he's the bottom of that alliance. And that if Andy is to go, then he's next. And he doesn't want that. So his only other option is to work with Andy and still have Sierra in his alliance. And he's not on the bottom of that alliance. Andy is. So there's somebody else that's on the bottom of alliance other than him. And I get that. And he's trying to explain that to Sierra. And Sierra's like, no, it's not like that. Because if those two went against you, I'm still on your side. And Sam's like, but I can't really trust that. Like, I don't want to go with the four. She's like, well, I want to go with the four. And he's like, I want to go with Andy. And they're just bickering back and forth. And all I have to say is I'm, like, really glad that they didn't have to go to tribal council, because I did not want to see Sam go home.
Yeah. I still think Andy would have gone home, but
I don't know.
Who knows?
I think they would have switched it. I don't know. Who knows at this point? They could have switched it 1,000 times and Rachel could have gone home.
But we have a challenge.
Mm-hmm. We sure do. This happened early in the episode. This was an early challenge.
It did, and it's because of all the chaos that happened in Lava later, and they had to do a journey.
Yes. Okay, so this is a challenge for immunity, but it's also a challenge for reward. So it's a reward challenge, and the first tribe that wins gets 3-leg-ang chickens. Second tribe gets 6 eggs, and that's it. Here's my thing.
That's kind of depressing. You just get 6 eggs.
I know, but it's still more than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my thing is, you may not know this, chickens have not been a reward in Survivor in a long time.
Really?
Yes. I think something that they are doing so well with this season is they are making these rewards more like classic Survivor rewards.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it last week, how like they got hammocks. They never got hammocks in the last 7 seasons. And now they're starting to kind of bring back those like traditional classic Survivor rewards.
Well, what were the rewards before this?
I mean, like a tarp, but yeah. Never like luxury item, like a hammock, a bag of rice.
Mm-hmm.
Like simple things like that. They did typically still get like fishing gear or like a tool kit or stuff like that. And then they kind of immediately went into like, oh, you get to go to the sanctuary and eat Outback or whatever, like once we got to the merge. But there was never hammocks, never chickens, like never something huge like that. Like at this point, there'd probably be like you win a fruit tray or like a bunch of fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah, I know. I think it's hilarious. My favorite prizes are the ones where they're like, you get to go eat a bunch of ribeyes, like a 5-star dinner or whatever. And then they get like sick because they haven't eaten in 2 weeks.
Yes, but they go nuts over those rewards. I love it. Okay, let's get to this challenge. So they have to roll this massive cube, get 2 bags, then they have to make a window frame and throw sandbags through the window frame and land it on a platform. Then they have to take these huge sandbags and put them on a platform and then go dig for a key and then unlock a rope gate and then finish a fire puzzle.
That's right. And long story short, because not much happened, I would say there's not much to go into as far as flipping the cubes and throwing the bags. They're dead even. All 3 teams are dead even going into the puzzle with Lavo just a smidge in the lead.
Yes. And it blows up in their face. I'm sorry, but I was laughing at this point.
I was too, but I think, my personal opinion, that Rome, this is crazy. This is probably not true. But how
your conspiracy comes in?
Yes. How do you not get a single piece of that puzzle? When you sat there and tried every single piece and the way that he was doing it, where he would like be pressing a piece up against it and be like, when it obviously doesn't fit. I'm bad at puzzles. I can't imagine being that bad at a puzzle or that. And then the fact that he wouldn't give it to anyone else and he wouldn't try another strategy. It made me think he was sinking his own tribe in order to get Saul out before the merge.
Oh my God. Hot take. Is that your hot take?
It is. Now, do I actually believe in it? I don't know, because you're stupid if you go to tribal, if you want to go to tribal council at all, because it could always be you.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we saw that like in early seasons of Survivor, people trying to throw challenges on purpose and everyone's like, don't do it because we don't know who could actually go home. And they're like, no, let's throw it because we need so-and-so out before the merge or else they're going to sink our game. I don't know if he was purposely sinking it or if he's just actually that dumb.
But why would he be that? I mean, it doesn't surprise me for him to be that dumb. And it doesn't surprise me for him to be so cocky that he's like, no, I have to be the one to clutch up and finish this challenge myself and be the hero, blah, blah, blah. And Sol's just in the background the whole time going, nope, not that one. That's not it, Rome. Not it, Rome.
Dead. That was so funny.
But the way that I see it is like he's either that weak at challenges. I don't care that he can jump onto the cube thing and get the bag down. The puzzle always takes longer, it seems like, than the physical challenges. So if you have somebody who is like adamant about being a leader, but they're a horrible leader, they're adamant about doing the last thing, which is usually a puzzle, but they're horrible at puzzles. That is a weak player. And not only is he a weak player, but he's all up in everybody's face all the time. He's on everybody's nerves. He's too chaotic. He could sink somebody's game so easily. Why were we even considering keeping him around?
I don't know. I think they're going to lose the next challenge. Like, I really do. I don't see you winning with him on your tribe because he just, unless it has nothing to do with the puzzle or he's not involved in the puzzle, but he's just so full of himself that he thinks that he can finish this fire puzzle. And also just like, I just was like irritated at the fact that he was sitting in front of the puzzle and Genevieve's having to hand him each and every piece.
Why was Genevieve not like, move, I'm going to get down here? And
well, Saul's like, do you want to switch roles? He's like, anybody want to switch roles? Like, you're in dead last. Let's get something moving. Yes, switch roles. But he can't even bring himself to switch roles. He can't, like, admit defeat.
That's why I sometimes think that he threw the challenge. Because why would you not? Either he threw the challenge or he is, like, the most arrogant person I've ever seen on this show.
Yeah.
Which is possible.
I think either one are possible, to be honest. And if he did throw the challenge, I think he kept it to himself. He didn't tell Saul. He didn't even tell, like, the producers in his little interviews. I think he kept it completely to himself.
I agree, because I don't know, whatever, but...
But anyway, either obviously, way, they lose. Gata wins, and they win the chickens. Then Tuku, and they get the eggs, and...
Is that three wins in a row for Gata?
Yes.
Okay, they're going to be very strong going into the merge.
Yes, if they can stay together, they will be.
Mm-hmm.
But Lavo loses, didn't get a single piece on their puzzle. And I was like, huh, that's what you get. That's what I wrote. That's what you get.
Yeah.
And then Jeff's like, hey, everyone, we actually have a journey. And Gata, since they won, gets to pick the three people that get to go. So they also have to be new people from last time. Like, they can't be the same people going to the journey again. So we have Andy, Teeny, and Caroline go. But then we actually jump back to the Gata tribe when they all get back to their camp. And they're talking about these chickens and whether they should kill the chickens or keep the chickens.
Kill the chickens. Hello.
Yes.
Imagine how good that protein is going to feel during your next challenge.
It's not KFC, it's KTC, kill the chickens.
So my thing is, too, is that they didn't give y'all one egg-laying chicken. They gave y'all three. So kill one of them and let the other two lay the eggs.
Also, how are they going to lay the eggs if there's no rooster? Or does the rooster just fertilize the egg?
Yes, the rooster just fertilizes the egg, and the eggs that we eat are usually unfertilized eggs.
Okay, now I feel really stupid.
I don't really know, actually.
I think that's right. I think you're right. I think I was just being stupid.
Better learn before you go on Survivor.
Yeah, before I say that, and they're like, we can't work with her. She's too dumb.
But if I'm hungry in the jungle for like 20-something days, and somebody tells me I'm not allowed to kill a chicken, I'm getting pissed off.
I mean, I think that Sam has like great control, because there are many times at this point that he could be like pissed off in this game. Yeah. And he still doesn't get that pissed off, but he's like, I want to kill the chickens. Sierra's like, we're not killing the chickens. We can't kill the chickens.
And he's just like, okay.
Yeah. I'm like, I couldn't see the chicken being killed. Like, somebody else would have to go away and like wring its neck. Like, I couldn't see that. But after that point, totally game with killing the chicken.
Absolutely.
Okay. And we also said that the chicken gets loose and Sam catches it, which I wish we could have seen more of. I absolutely love when the chickens get loose and the whole tribe has to go chasing them around the island. I think it's hilarious.
You're like, I need more chicken play, please, in the edit.
More chicken play. And then I was like, when I saw the chicken outside of the cage and nobody said anything, I was like, we got free range chickens out here? Like, what is going on?
It's like Ty and his chicken.
Yes. Where's Ty that can teach the chickens to never leave his side? He had like no alliance members but those chickens.
That's funny.
Mark was the chicken's name.
Mark, yes.
Okay. So then we go to Lavo. We see that Sol goes to the water. So that gives everybody else the chance to talk. Okay. So they explain that you have to have a vote to play your shot in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Rome is saying, though, he doesn't want to use his steal a vote. He's like, we could save it for later. So I don't really want to play it. Is there a way that we could get him to not play a shot in the dark and me be able to keep my steal a vote? And Keyshawn's like, yeah, we just have to convince him it's somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're having this one-on-one conversation, and Keyshawn says, well, maybe we just throw out Genevieve to Sol. And this was almost my weakest move.
It was my weakest move of the game, but at the same time, like, was it really a weak move, or was it just the one thing that, like, undid his game? It wasn't necessarily, yeah, to me, stupid. I'm still calling it my weak move of the game, but to me, it wasn't, like, idiotic to throw that out there. He was literally trying to think logically, and I think in his head, he was like, I don't know, nobody likes to have their name thrown out there, but I think in his head, he was like, Genevieve will understand it.
Yeah. And maybe he thought that Genevieve would understand it. I thought that they would, I don't know. Here's my thing, is he could have just kept his mouth shut and said, Rome, who do you think, like, he'll go for? And Rome would have to throw out a name. Then it's not on Keyshawn for throwing out a name. And that, yeah. And then that's another reason to get someone to vote for Rome. Like, tell them, if Rome threw out Genevieve, you could say, he threw out your name, Genevieve. Like, he's not your alliance partner. He's not your number one. Like, you may have thought that, but he's not. He could have, like, Keyshawn could have just sat there, not thrown out a name. But also, I think the two of them were dumb in the fact that somebody needed to man up and say the only person that Sol will believe that everybody is writing down is Rome.
Yeah. Oh, Rome should have taken one for the team in that way.
No, he should have.
But of course, he's too much of a baby to do that.
No, but it's a good thing that he didn't, because he would have gotten voted out.
Yeah, good for him, I guess. That would have been so funny, though.
Yes. Okay, so then we see Rome's like, well, I'll just give him an ultimatum. He'll either give me his shot in the dark, or I'll tell him that I'm going to steal his vote and he won't get to play his shot in the dark. So he goes up to Sol and gives him this threat or ultimatum. Big debate on which one it is. And he says, give me your shot in the dark and I promise you that we will vote Genevieve out. Or mm-hmm. if you don't, then I'll steal your vote and we'll vote you out.
Evil.
Threat or ultimatum?
Threat.
Definitely a threat.
And I love Sol for not cowering to this BS.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. So while it didn't lead to him going home, I think it does sink his later game. And that's why Rome threatening Sol, not once, but twice, with the idol play and with the shot in the dark. Him threatening Sol was my weakest move of the episode.
Okay, that makes sense.
I just had to give it to him because I was like, I can't give it to Keyshawn. I can't. I really don't like Rome.
Yeah, and it's not, it just really feels like what Rome did. It probably will be the thing to sink his game later, but I'm just really annoyed to see him go through to the next round. And I know that, like, I almost, like, hope that Lavo goes right back to Tribal Council, because I won't be able to deal if he goes to the merge. I want to see him get voted out by the people that he thinks he controls.
I want him to get completely blindsided.
God, they had such a good chance. They could have still done it. Well, no, they couldn't have done it this episode, actually. But they could have split it.
They could have done it this episode. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. But they could have. So Keyshawn then throws out Rome's name to Genevieve.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you think about Rome? And she's like, yeah, like I'm in. And Keyshawn kind of lays out like this foolproof plan, right? So he's like,
yeah.
So if me and you vote Rome, we don't need any other votes. Because at the end of the day, we could still have the majority with two votes, even if Teeny comes back and doesn't have a vote.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, let's do it. But Keyshawn is smart. And he's like, well, I'm also going to tell Sol so that if when the time comes and we come back to camp after Rome is gone, Sol might want to work with Keyshawn and he'll feel like he is in on that group.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So he tells Sol, he tells Caroline. And so those three are like set at this point for voting for Rome.
Did you mean Genevieve?
That's what I meant.
Yes.
Keyshawn,
Genevieve
and Sol.
And Sol
are all locked in on voting for Rome.
And that's where it should have ended, right there. No more discussions.
No more discussions. Go to tribal council, put it on paper, Rome goes home. But no. We don't get that. But we do get a journey.
This journey was very interesting. It has a lot of implications on the game post-merge.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so we have Caroline say, I didn't want to go on this journey. And she's like mad that they picked her.
Mm-hmm.
But they get to the little spot on the island and they're like, all right, well, let's talk before we have to do this challenge or this journey. And Caroline says, oh, there's a bro alliance at first, but now it seems to have dissipated. Andy says, I'm on the bottom. I thought this was a great play by Andy. Mm-hmm. I think at any point, if you go on a journey, you say, I'm on the bottom. That way, when it comes to the merge, you're already viewed as not a threat.
And somebody open.
Yeah, somebody you can work with. And mm-hmm. Andy kind of says that. And I was like, ooh, maybe he is smarter than what we thought.
Maybe. I feel like once the merge happens, it's going to be make or break for Andy if he makes it that far.
Yeah, same. And then Teeny says Rome and Sol are battling, so there'll probably be one of them tonight. Okay, so they have to turn over this timer and read a note. The note says one person can lose their vote so that the three of you can get an advantage or all three of you lose your vote.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately, and this is also where Andy played it smart. Immediately, Andy is like, I'm on the bottom. I cannot lose my vote. Can't be me.
Yeah.
And
I'm surprised that Andy didn't immediately cave and be like, okay, fine, guys, I'll do it.
That's why I think he's smarter than what he like puts on.
Maybe he's playing dumb a little bit.
Yes. And I think, I mean, I felt like that was a great move to be like, I'm on the bottom. Like, I can't risk losing my vote.
Please, and then Caroline's like, no, I'm not doing it. And then Teeny, who should be the one who really doesn't want to do it because they have to vote that night. She's just too nice. She's too nice for this game.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's
it
my
might
thing.
End up working in her favor, but she was like, she immediately took them at their word that they weren't gonna, give up their vote. So she was like, well, someone has to, so I guess I will.
Yeah, but like Caroline should have.
Yeah,
it
for
should
sure.
have been Caroline. And I would have said right then and there, if I'm Teeny, I would be like, listen, I don't care. I'll lose my vote.
Yeah.
I'll lose my vote. I don't care if we get an advantage. I'll lose my vote. And then wait till the last second of that timer going down for Caroline to say, okay, I'll lose my vote. Because at the end of the day, like, Teeny did need that vote.
Yeah.
Because it could have been 3-3.
Yeah, it could have made all the difference. I mean, I don't know. But.
It could have, because it would have been a tied vote, and they would have had to revote, and only, like, you know. At the revote, you don't get a steal a vote again, do you? Like, do you get to vote twice again? I don't know.
Well, every single person in the tribe voted for Keyshawn after Rome stole his vote. It was four votes for Keyshawn.
Did Sol vote for Keyshawn too?
Yes. I waited till after the commercial at the end to see who all they voted for.
Okay, but I think it would have mattered if they knew that they had her vote, but they knew that they didn't.
Yeah.
Ugh, I hate this. Okay, but needless to say, Teenie loses her vote, and they all three now get this amulet idol. Mm-hmm. So at any point, they can play these three together, and it is an idol, one idol. Or if there's only two left, it's still an idol. Or if there's only one left, it's still an idol.
And it's fascinating because they have to, like, play them at the same time. So what if, like, okay. So, like, after the merge, let's say that they all think that it's going to be Caroline getting voted out. And Teenie and Andy are in an alliance with Caroline. And Caroline's like, guys, we have to put together the three amulets. In order to not let me get voted out. And they're like, yeah, yeah, we got you. We'll use that for you. And then on the side, Andy and Teenie are like, actually, no, we actually want to get her out. So when she plays hers, we're just not going to play ours. And then she would be blindsided. I think it's going to be, however those are going to be used, it's going to be dramatic. And it's going to be, but then I remember Teenie being like, no matter what, we can't F with each other with these.
Yeah.
But I don't see, like, it's so easy to F with each other with them.
Yeah. I don't see those three working together ever. And so I think that what will happen is one of them will try to get the other two out. And they'll make up some different reason for why or whatever. They'll try to get the other two out so that they have one idol and they can use it however they want to.
Yeah.
Do you remember when, and it's the same season, Ty, they had an amulet idol that had to be put together for it to be a full idol?
I don't think I remember.
Oh my gosh. And it was the big, like, NBA player. I cannot remember his name, but I can see his face.
I know who you're talking about. I can't remember his name either.
And then Jason was in that alliance. Mm-hmm. And they had Ty. And they were like, well, if we put these together, it's a full idol. And they're at tribal council. And they're like, Ty, where is it? And he's like, no, I'm not giving it. Like, do you remember that and how mad those boys were?
No, I don't remember it. Yay. Who were they trying to save?
I don't even remember. Probably one of them. It was probably one of those two guys.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I'm not doing it.
So they have done the three-part immunity idol before.
Yes, but typically what it's been, it's been like, I can't even remember, like, three, if there's three left in the game, it means this. If there's two left in the game, it means this. It's never been like an idol every single time. However many are left in the game.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay, so we get all of them coming back to camp. And Teenie immediately tells that she loses her vote. And she tells this to Keyshawn and Genevieve. Mm-hmm. And then we have the other two also just tell the truth. Like, Andy tells the truth. Shows them the little amulet. And then Caroline also tells his truth, shows the amulet. So we don't get anybody that lied. Did Teenie ever tell them about the amulet? Or did she just say, I lost my vote?
I think she just said she lost her vote.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart.
But this is when Keyshawn and Genevieve start to tell her about their plan to get out Roan. This is where I'm so confused. Looking back on it now, I'm so confused. Because Genevieve flipped so
easily
times. Like, at the beginning, she was all with Rome and she was going to vote out Sol. Then she was with Keyshawn and she was going to vote out Rome. And then she was with Rome and she was going to vote out Keyshawn just because Keyshawn gave her name to somebody who was in their own, like, who was playing with them, you know?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. She flipped so many times. And to me, that's somebody I wouldn't want to work with.
I wouldn't want to either. And Rome is also kind of crappy for telling her that Keyshawn, well, I guess it helps. I guess in the long run, it helped himself because it made it so that, like, he ended up not getting voted out. But
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. You can't. Yeah. None of them are trustworthy. Not a single one of them, except for maybe Teenie and Sol.
Yeah. Yeah. We get this conversation between Rome and Genevieve. And Genevieve's like, well, did y'all tell Sol that y'all were voting for someone else? And he was like, yeah, you. She goes, well, who threw out my name? And he goes, Keyshawn did. Mm-hmm. And she immediately spirals. immediately spirals. She's like, well, now I know Keyshawn's not working with me because he was willing to throw my name out.
And like, then Genevieve
had to give him some name. Like,
yeah, he had to give her something. And also Genevieve is like, now
her whole thing is, I'm going to get Keyshawn out. And so she's trying to get Rome and Sol on the same side now. And it is crazy that it ended up even working out that way in the end, because it was like pulling teeth. Sol is like, I'm voting for Rome no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. Sol's not having it. And that's where I said, like, him threatening Rome, threatening Sol twice, made it so that Rome had to play his steal a vote.
It being an overall nuisance.
Yes, and that's why I thought it was the weakest move, because I was like, you could have had an alliance of three if you weren't such a jerk to him earlier.
And it's free. It's free to be not a jerk.
Yes, it is. And it's so funny to me. So funny to me that now Rome is like, dude, I know we've had our differences, but like, let's put them apart. Like, let's put them aside. And I'm like, what? Like,
yeah.
You didn't have differences. Y'all... You were threatening him.
Yeah. That's why this episode was so unsatisfying.
Yes. And I'm no longer Team Genevieve. Like, at the beginning of this episode, I was like, yes, Genevieve, switch. Let's do it. I'm so on your team. And by the end of this, I was like, oh, I don't like you. Like, I don't like your gameplay.
Yeah. But I guess the last thing that we see before they go to tribal council is Genevieve trying to get Rome and Sol to now go for Keyshawn. And it just doesn't seem like that's going to happen because they want each other out so badly.
Yes. And here's my tribal council. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Why would Sol not immediately go to Keyshawn and be like, they're voting for you and they're trying to get me to vote for you?
That would have been smart.
Because then he could have played a shot in the dark.
Dude, I don't know.
And then at least, but then Keyshawn could have talked to Genevieve and been like, Genevieve, like, I just threw your name out there because it was me and Rome sitting together. Like, who else were we going to throw out? You know, he could have explained himself, but Sol just sat there with it, like, didn't say anything.
Well, it almost seemed like they were out of time. Also, Sol has a really hard time getting a moment away from Rome.
Facts.
Because, I mean, genuinely, I had never thought about that as a strategy in this game. But not letting the person that you want to leave have a second alone so that they can strategize back against you is a smart but annoying and batshit crazy strategy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I never thought of that before.
I know. He went all in on it, too.
That was the best part.
Okay. We get to tribal and they talk about the challenge. And I just cannot believe that this was not a more deciding factor for this tribe. The fact that like they blew the challenge and who blew the challenge.
It's like they're not trying not to step on Rome's toes. And it just makes me so annoyed because I'm like, you guys know that you can get rid of him. Like, you could literally just get rid of him.
Yes, you could. You could. It's foolproof. It's foolproof. Mm-hmm. You can get rid of him. And then they talk about post-challenge, like, what happened. Sol was like, it was chaos back at camp. He explains how Rome threatened him, and Rome's like, it was a ultimatum.
Not a threat.
Even Jeff calls it a threat, and Rome's like, ultimatum. I was like, ooh. I was like, don't speak up for Mr. Jeff Groves.
Mm-hmm.
He said what he said. Okay, and then we get, Keyshawn says, like, don't let an argument determine who you're going to vote out. And I'm like, Keyshawn, what do you mean? You need the argument to be the reason why you vote someone out.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. I felt like he was, like, bluffing or just trying to say something.
Yeah, I was like, huh? And then they get into the steal a vote, and there's probably going to be only three people voting. Sol's like, I'm playing my shot in the dark no matter what. And Rome's like, well, I'm going to steal your vote no matter what. Both of them are bluffing because neither of those things happen.
Right.
And then Genevieve says this vote is critical for her game. It's going to sink her game if it doesn't go the way that she thinks it's going to go.
Which is kind of true.
Yeah, very true. So now it's time to vote. And Rome steals Keyshawn's vote.
This right here
I had to give it my power move, strong move, whatever we're calling it, of the game. Because
me too.
It changed the outcome.
Yeah, it did. It did change the outcome. I thought it was the best move. The only thing that I would have done differently if I was Rome is I would have stole Sol's vote. Because when you steal Keyshawn's vote, it gives Keyshawn a chance to be like, holy crap, is the vote me?
Yeah.
Let me play my shot in the dark. He doesn't do that, but he could have, and I would have.
He was shocked. He was like, nobody knew it was happening. Sol even muttered under his breath, well, I don't know what to do now.
Yeah.
Because you know Sol was dying to vote for Rome.
Yes. Yes.
And I really think that because Rome found out that Keyshawn was trying to flip it onto him, it was like this episode strengthened Rome and Genevieve beyond our wildest imagination, because Genevieve found out Keyshawn threw her name in, and then Rome found out that Keyshawn wanted to vote him out. So they just kind of became stronger against him. Like, that's really what happened at the end of the day in this episode.
Yeah, it is. It is. So Rome steals Keyshawn's vote. And you see Sol and Keyshawn both freaking out. Like, they're both like, I'm freaking out. I'm freaking out. Everybody's freaking out. Teeny goes up. She can't vote. She's like, I'm freaking out right now. Because nobody knows. Like, what is Rome up to? Like, what could be going on? Because everyone thought that Rome was going home.
Right.
And then we see that Keyshawn is voted out instead.
Mm-hmm.
And I am... like, I'm so mad. And I'm like, Genevieve, like, why? Like, you had a chance to get rid of Rome. And I know you feel like Rome's more loyal to you than Keyshawn. But, like, so be it. Let her sink her own game, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to help her, especially after the merge when Rome has all been everybody's face and getting on everybody's nerves. It's really not going to help her, though.
Yeah. I don't think that this tribe will stay together post-merge. There's no way.
No, definitely not.
I think Teeny is completely with Sol now. They're going to have to be aligned together. She might be able to, like, mend fences with Genevieve and Rome just to, like, save her own self. But, and it's a good thing that she didn't have a vote because she didn't vote against them.
Yeah. Okay. So we end up having all four people, well, not four people, three people, well, plus Rome's extra vote going toward Keyshawn. And I really think Sol is just thinking in his head, like, oh, there must be a plan against Keyshawn that I don't know about. And if I don't vote for him and, like, there's two votes for me and two votes for him, then I could be going home, too. So I think Sol was just like, he saw the writing on the wall whenever Rome stole Keyshawn's vote. He was like, there must be some plan against Keyshawn that I don't know about. So I need to vote for him. Yeah.
They told him, like, we're voting for Keyshawn. Vote with us.
No, not really, because Rome kept saying Rome was not budging. Like, Genevieve was trying to make that happen, but it never happened before trial council.
I know, but she was telling Sol, like, me and Rome are voting Keyshawn. Like, you got to vote Keyshawn with us. And he was like, I'm not doing that.
Rome wasn't voting for Keyshawn. Rome was still voting for Sol.
No, Rome was voting for Keyshawn.
Okay.
I think Genevieve and Rome had already decided, okay, we're voting for Keyshawn because... she went to Rome and was like, Keyshawn's voting for you. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think Sol knew that they were voting for Keyshawn. He just wanted to be in the majority.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, okay. Same thing.
Okay. But yeah, so everyone voted for Keyshawn and he was gone. And that was sad because he was one of my favorites.
Me too. And Teeny's like, what the heck is going on? Crazy.
What was your hot take of the episode?
You know, I couldn't really think of one because I was like, my hot take is that I'm just mind blown that Rome didn't go home.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know.
The most shocking thing about this episode was that Rome didn't go home, for sure.
Yeah.
Especially
it's not really
a puzzle.
Hot take. Yeah, I guess that's my hot take. Like, you ruin the puzzle, you're ruining camp life, you're threatening people, and you're still there.
Yeah.
Like, my hot take was that he wanted Soul out so bad that he threw the challenge.
Yeah.
Even though he didn't end up getting Soul out, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Who was your game changer of the episode?
Unfortunately, I have to give it to Rome. No. Or Genevieve, actually. Let me think about that.
Okay. I'll persuade you. I'm giving mine to Genevieve.
Why?
Because without her, the game doesn't change. Rome goes home and it's pretty self-explanatory. With her, she makes Rome play his shot in the dark. I mean, not shot in the dark. Blah, 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 blah. She makes Rome play the steal a vote.
Mm-hmm.
She helps Rome stay in the game. Without her, Rome goes home. Without her, Keyshawn stays. She's the only reason that vote went the way it did.
Yeah.
And she changed the game like 5 times.
Okay, she is in more control. I'll definitely give it to Genevieve as well. That you make a good case. You make a good case. And I think that Rome is, he thinks he's a lot more in charge than he actually is. So I hesitate to give it to him.
Yeah, I just couldn't. I couldn't give it to Rome. He got lucky.
For personal reasons.
For personal reasons, he got lucky. But I also think it was a great move for Genevieve to make him play his steal a vote. If it was me, I wouldn't even try to bring Soul into it. Like, I would know, like, Soul's not going to vote with us, and let's just leave him out of it. Let's just use steal a vote, and we have the majority.
Yeah.
Because you risk Soul going back and telling Keyshawn.
I just wish Genevieve hadn't turned on Keyshawn at the last minute there, because they could have split the vote.
I know.
Okay. My weak move of the game, which wasn't really that weak, we already said it, but definitely Keyshawn dropping Genevieve's name in there, because it ended up being the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. My weakest move was Rome threatening Soul twice.
Mm-hmm. Because that's definitely going to blow up later.
Yeah.
Both of our strongest move was Rome stealing Keyshawn's vote when he never even said or indicated that that's whose vote he was going to steal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it signaled to the other players exactly what was about to go down.
Yes. Talk about shock value, though. I was saying last episode there was zero shock value. There was a lot this episode.
There was.
I swear, like, the Survivor gods are listening to me, and they're like, you know what? She's right. There wasn't any shock value. Let's make there some the next week.
I love seeing how things can, like, flip and change within just a few hours.
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating.
Well, I think it, like, also just gives her so much hope for the people that are on the bottom. Like, Soul probably thought he had no shot. And
right.
Then it came down to between Keyshawn and Rome. Like, it didn't even involve him at all.
I don't know. I bet Soul was mixed feelings, because he's probably, first of all, mostly 99% just really happy that he's still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he needed the victory in his soul of getting Rome out. Like, he needed that.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll stick to what they've done in the past, like, 7-ish seasons, is they've stuck to, you stick with these 3 tribes up until the merge.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll stick with that, or if we'll get, like, a tribe switch this next week.
Well, with the being, like, the less amount of days that they stay there, a tribe switch would be hard.
Yeah, true.
To but do I, last minute.
I know. I just hate that they don't do that anymore. I wish they would, like, switch the tribes up, because it makes, like, when you get to the merge, like, so interesting, because you're like, wait, are you sticking with your original tribe or your second tribe, or, like, a brand new tribe?
Yeah, I always found that fascinating, too. And I like, if Lavo goes to tribal council next week, I'd love when there's, like, one tribe that's just, like, struggling.
Yeah. But we've seen that a lot in the past, like, few seasons. So I'm like, I kind of hope it goes, like, more even into the merge. So then we can, although I want Rome out. Like, I want Rome out next, so I'll take that. But I want to see, like, post-merge what's going to happen. Because the last 2 seasons, what's happened is one tribe has gotten down to 3 people. And then they merge. And so the other 2 tribes are just fighting over those 3 people. Like, oh, vote with us. No, vote with us. And then it seems like those 3 people make it almost to the end.
Interesting, because they're almost like free agents, so they can really make an alliance with anybody.
Yes, and they, like, there's been tribes that have never gone to tribal council before the merge, and so they're, like, dying to get out, like, the annoying people on their tribe.
Yeah.
And so they're like, we'll help you do it. We'll help you eat your own tribe alive, and then we'll take you out once we have the majority.
They've been with them too long, and they're like, I gotta get rid of this guy.
Yeah. What's really fascinating, and this is going to be, like, hard to explain, but those three people will, like, pick a tribe, right? They'll pick who they want to align with, and they'll vote with them for a few votes, and then they'll switch over to the other tribe because now the other tribe is desperate.
Yeah.
And so they just kind of, like, flip back and forth, and then those three people make it, like, really far.
Wherever they're the safest that week. Yes. That's smart. Yes.
And I wonder if we'll see, like, same gameplay post-merge. But this season is so different than the last few. I love it.
I love it, too. I'm really excited. I'm enjoying this a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Do you think that somebody at the Lavo camp is going to find the next Beware advantage? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, and is it going to be paint again?
Ooh, I hope so. I hope so, too, and I hope it's Rowan. I hope he gets caught. And I hope that somebody else somehow gets the idol.
Oh, shoot, you're right. I don't want it to be Rowan.
Yeah, because he'll definitely make it another week.
You know what? No. I want it to be Rowan, and I want him to be so cocky and so confident in his alliance that he doesn't even play the idol and he gets blindsided.
Mm-hmm.
I would love
That would be amazing. I would love that, too.
Oh my gosh. And to end this episode, does anything get under your skin more than when they play the shot of the tribe walking back, like, out of tribal council back to their camp and you see Rome smile?
Oh. That and the fact that he was up there with two votes, smiling both times at the very end. And I don't know, because, you know, in his head, he's going, I'm in control here. I am Lavo. I am in charge of this tribe.
Oh my God.
And that at the merge, he's going to be telling everybody that he ran things. And it's almost like, in reality, Genevieve is running things, but she's, like, letting him think that he is running things.
Yeah. Yeah, true. I think it'll come back and bite him. We'll see.
The cockiness is killing me, but it's going to bite him in the butt eventually. I know it will.
Yeah, fingers crossed. If he wins this season, I don't know if I'm going to be able to recap another Survivor season.
The other players would not vote for him. He might make it to the end, but the other players ain't voting for him for the $1 million.
True, true, so true. Okay, well, that's it. That is our recap of episode 4, Survivor 47. Like we said in our last episode, later this week, we're going to be coming out with a shorter recap of Golden Bachelorette, kind of our hot takes on that episode, just going over the highlights. And maybe in that episode, we'll talk about some other, you know, reality TV news or anything else that's going on. And we have some exciting news because we're going to try to record that one in person.
When are you coming again?
Friday.
2 days from today?
2 days from today, yeah.
Oh, yay!
Yes. So we can work out the logistics. We're going to try to record in person, so maybe our audio will be better, but also, like, I want to try to get, like, video of it.
Yeah.
You know? And
that'd be awesome.
Yeah. We can put some clips up on the Instagram. I don't know. I think it'll be fun.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to Binge and Banter. My name is Angela.
And my name is Emily. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.